Patterns of Praise, Disc 1, Lecture 2, Introduction to Daily Prayer Times.
Shalom, y'all. So, I'm going to talk about the set times, the ordained for prayer. But before I talk about that, I want to talk about something else. The book of Genesis, Bereishit. By the way, I will use without doubt. I'm going to try not to, but I'll use Hebrew a lot. And because that's just the way that I talk. And that's the way I think. And so if I use it and you didn't understand what I said, even if I said it in English, people don't understand. But if I said it and you didn't understand what it was, or I didn't give you the English for it, stop me, okay? Because it's not intended to lose you, confuse you. Our movement, you know, this is a very serious time. I think that everybody in the room would agree that we're in perilous times. And our country is not on a good path. And we're all worried, we're concerned, we're frightened. But it's also the best of times. Because we have real movements of God. I mean, the temple is really becoming a reality now. And it's a worldwide movement. And that's amazing. This movement that you and I are involved in, not being halakhically Jewish or according to Jewish law, but coming to Torah. It is a tremendous movement. It goes around the world. It is gigantic in its proportions. And it's growing constantly. But it's also the worst of times, because nobody gets along with anybody. We fight over all the minor things while we agree on the major, but we have walls of division between us. So I believe very definitely, no matter if you are from the church, Messianic Judaism, Hebrew roots, Torah roots, two house, whatever the name, okay? Whatever the name. I believe that if you believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then we are all instructed to support Israel. He says, I will bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. I want to go to the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, I'm not getting away from my topic, but everything that we're going to discuss, we have to have a foundation. We have to have somewhere that we start, and what we're going to start with is the plan of Hashem, the plan of God, okay? In Devarim chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. I'm going to drop on down. Verse 6, Therefore be careful to observe. Wait, let me do verse 5. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the peoples who will hear all these statutes. Okay, so in that, we have the role of Israel. One of their roles is to be a witness to the other nations. Now, for this, to whom much is given, much is required. And Hashem has dealt very hard at times with Israel because of this. Israel, we call the Jewish people the chosen people. It doesn't mean that Hashem, and when I say Hashem, I'm talking about the Father, I'm talking about God, okay? That it does not mean that Hashem loves Israel more than he loves the other nations. Like a father, I have lots of kids. A lot of you have lots of kids. And you love all of your kids, but you might love them differently between the kids, depending on their personalities, depending on how you interact with them. But what it means to say the chosen people is that they were chosen for a task. They were chosen for a job. We just were told. He gave them statutes and commandments for them to observe, and that as they would observe these, all the nations would look and say, huh, what a great God they have, and what a magnificent way that they have. Now, everything that we're going to do is going to be based upon the Siddur. It's going to be based upon Jewish prayer. So this movement, one of the most common statements I hear is, I don't want anything except what is I can find in the Torah, okay, or what I can find in the Tanakh. Before we get out of here, I'm going to show you stuff that is in the Torah that you had no idea was there. You didn't see it, okay? You couldn't see it. At least I'm going to guess you couldn't see it. Maybe you did, okay? But here, when I was a kid, by going to the grocery store, we always went with my mother. And she went to get her groceries, and we went to the cereal aisle, okay? And yeah, no, kids did that because you bought your cereal based upon what came in the box. Not the cereal, the toy, okay? And if you're from my generation, you can relate to that. Now, my sister, she liked to buy the cereal boxes that had these drawings on the back. And it would have like a jungle scene. And it would say, how many birds can you find in this drawing? And I would look and look and stare at that, and I wouldn't be able to see one. And she would come in and go, here's one, there's one, just like that. But once I saw them, that's all I could see. And after a little bit, I could find birds on my own. So we have a problem. We have several. We have lots. Okay? First is that we think like we're in the West. We are in the West. But we do not think like in the East. And that handicaps us. Secondly, we have where most of us have come, I believe that probably everybody here believes that Yeshua is the Messiah, but we've somewhat departed from traditional Christianity, okay? And we observe the festivals. We observe Shabbat. We read Torah. We study Torah. We are moving into the observance of the commandments, okay? But even in doing that, we're carrying a lot of luggage that came out of replacement theology Christianity. And all of Christianity, as it evolved into the 3rd and 4th century, was replacement theology. And that luggage is still there to this day, so much so that we're not realizing a lot of it. So the very, very first thing that we have to deal with is, number one, is that we don't want to be so fast to say, that's not in the Torah. Okay, that's not in the Torah. Well, you're going to see many, many examples of what you thought was not in the Torah is in the Torah before the weekend's over. Okay, number two is that there is a fear of Jewish tradition, a fear, a phobia of it. And Jewish tradition that, you know, is that tradition or is that scripture? And hopefully, there is so many misunderstandings. Did you ever see the commercial? I love this commercial. This is the commercial about the girl is talking about this guy. I think there's been a car wreck or something, and he is going through his phone to contact his insurance company or something. And the girl says, "You can't do that." And he says, "Where'd you get that from?" She said, "I read it on the internet." And he says, "Well, that's not true." She says, "It has to be true. It's on the internet." Okay, and then she's going to have this date with this guy that's a French model, and he's not anything a French model, but she met him on the internet. Okay, but we're internet crazy. So we hear stuff like the kippah, the yarmulke, that started in Europe, that started a few hundred years ago. No, it didn't. It started in the temple. It was in the first temple period. Okay? There's all types. We could stand here and go through all types of various things that people are saying, oh, that's not in the scripture, that's Jewish tradition, and they don't know what they're talking about. Okay? And I'm not trying to attack, and I'm not trying to offend. I'm trying to open eyes. Okay? So don't be so fast. You were here, it's going to be coming from Jewish sources. But we will be able to show you exactly where it comes from. All right? So I want to go through that before we start. Let's go to the book of Vayikra or Leviticus, chapter 23. Most of you would know this book as the great go-to chapter on the festivals. It's going to list off the seven festivals as well as the Shabbat. So there are actually eight in here. And so I'm going to read. I'm using a New King James translation. At times I'll use the Tanakh, but I wanted to keep it as simple as I could. In Vayikra 23:1, the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the festivals of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my festivals. Let me read that out of the Tanakh. Drop down to verse 4. Verse 3 deals with the Shabbat. And my intention here is not to talk about these festivals, but we have verse 4, these are the festivals of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. So in verse 4, in the New King James, it says, these are the feasts. In Hebrew, it says, Elei Modei, Modei. Okay, appointed times is an appointed time is a moed. Okay, the plural of this is moedim. Now, we have another word for festivals. We could use the word hag, which means like a cycle or a circle. But we have appointed times. And so, appointed times, you have your festivals. We have seven festivals. And we have, in the seven festivals, we have also seven high Sabbaths, okay? So we have our first festival is what? You tell me. Pesach. Do we observe Pesach today? No, we do not. We don't observe Pesach today, okay? Pesach is the slaying of the Passover lamb, which is only done in the temple. The next festival starts at sundown on the 14th, and it is called Hag HaMatzah, unleavened bread. We call that Passover today. Okay, in other words, do you understand what I'm saying? We observe that. We observe that. You can observe that anywhere in the world. All right, now the first day of Hag HaMatzah is always a Sabbath, okay? It's always a Sabbath. And the last day of Hag HaMatzah, which goes for a week, is also a Sabbath. Now these are a different type of Sabbath. They're not your weekly Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday evening. These we call a High Sabbath. We call these also a Yom Tov, which means a good day. But that doesn't mean just, hey, it's a good day. It means specifically, it's a holy day. And the other term that we use for it is Mikre Kodesh. Kodesh. What does the word Kodesh mean? Holy. What does that mean? To be what? To set it apart. And hopefully we're going to develop that a little bit more as we go along. But we have seven of these days. And so in between the first day, that's a Yom Tov, a Shabbaton, a High Sabbath, a holy convocation, the 15th of Nisan, and the 21st of Nisan, that's another Yom Tov, Shabbaton, holy convocation. What about the other days in between? They're part of Hakamatzah, right? Are they holy? No, they aren't. They're called Chol HaMoed, the coming days of the festival. Okay? Coming days of the festival. All right. We're going to talk about the appointed times for prayer, so I want you to understand the concept of the appointed times. All right? Everybody follow me? So, it goes through, takes us through Hakamatzah, then we have the waving of the Omer during that week, okay? Then we're going to have the counting of the Omer, where we count from that point 50 days, and then we have Shavuot, okay, which is a holy convocation, all right? So it has a kedusha, a sanctification. Now, anytime, and you want to write this down, okay? Anytime you have something that has the word holy on it, we already established that it means that you separate it, but it means that there are certain things that you will not do, cannot do, and other things that you are committed to do. Ah, that is the concept of the Moedim, the appointed times, that you have an appointment to do certain things and also an appointment to not do certain things. And likewise, here's a really exciting part of the Moedim, the appointed times that we have here in the festivals. Messiah also, he kept these Moedim in the sense of a eschatological sense. In other words, Yeshua in his first coming was slain on Pesach. He was buried on Hakamatzah. He rose from the dead on the day they waved the Omer. We have the Ruach HaKodesh comes down and empowers the people on Shavuot. He will, we expect, in his second coming, he'll fulfill the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Okay? That these are appointed times and very, very, very significant for us. We're going to talk about our services. Now, here we have a blank screen. I don't have any slides for this talk. We are here to learn how to pray. Well, I grew up in a house where we were told to pray every day. Okay? I grew up with that. I was in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every choir practice, everything. Okay? I didn't become a believer until later, but we were very active in the church. And prayer was said to us specifically. So, Darren made a statement. He said that the prayer that we do today from the Siddur, from the prayer book, it originates from the temple. Actually originates from before that. It is going to be very intertwined with the temple. We'll bring that out to you. But we have different services. And if you'll take your Siddur, so grab it. We're going to use this Siddur a lot. Page 1, we have the Shacharit prayers. Shacharit, or morning prayers. Page 53 are the Midha, or the afternoon prayers. Now, we have another service that I'm going to mention. It's called Mariv. Mariv. Mariv is spelled M-A-A-R-I-V. Mariv. So the Mariv is your evening service. The Shacharit is your morning service. And the Midha is your afternoon service on the weekdays. We have actually an additional service that we do on Shabbat, but I'm not going to go into that right now. Now, according to Jewish belief, that the author, first off, let me rephrase this, all of the services come from Hashem. And I believe that we will be able to establish this. However, they come from Hashem through people. And the vessel that he used to bring the Shacharit service to us, in Jewish understanding, is Abraham. The Midah service is seen as Isaac. And the Mariv is Jacob. So let me run through these real quick. Oh, the Shacharit, it comes from what we call the Akedah, the binding of the sacrifice. Now, you want to write this down because this will come handy later. Might not have anything to do with our conference now, but you always need to know this. The chapter that is read most in the world by Jewish people is chapter 22 of Bereishit of Genesis, the Akedah. It is read every morning. You know, it starts off that Hashem called to Abraham, and I love this, and everything that we're going to talk about, by the way, has to deal with attitude. Attitude. There's a Hebrew word for correct attitude in prayer. It's called kavanah. Kavanah. We'll spell that later for you, okay? But we have Abraham is called, Hashem says, Abraham, and he responds in Hebrew, Hineni. Here am I. All right, so too often when Hashem will call someone, they will say, what do you want? All right, now he tells him something very difficult. The joy of his life, he is to offer as a korban olah, right? A burnt offering. Burnt offering, not only is he dead, there's nothing left. It's totally consumed. And the very next verse we don't see Abraham saying, I don't know. What we see is he rose early in the morning. And what the sages taught is that he rose and he prayed. And that was where the Shacharit came from. Okay? So, the Midah, Yitzhak. Remember that Eliezer, who was the steward of Abraham, was sent to secure a bride for Isaac. And she has come with him. And when she sees him, she asks Eliezer, who is this? And he says, it's the son of my master. And she puts a covering on her head. Why? Why did she put a covering on her head? Because she was married. This was her husband. She was married. And it's going to go farther. It says that he was meditating in the field. Meditating in the field. Any of you know who Deanna Dye is? Dr. Deanna Dye? Deanna Dye is a longtime friend of ours. She's been with us to Israel maybe 5 or 6 times. And I just came from Florida where we did a seminar in the temple. And she did some tremendous teachings on the different words that are used. But the expression in the field is an expression for prayer in Hebrew. And so you read, but we're reading like it was written over here, not over there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is we miss a lot of what was happening. And to meditate. To meditate is a term for actually the Amidah. It is a term for prayer. And so basically, when she approached him, he was praying. And that is the source of Midah. All right? So Jacob, he messed up with his brother. He did what was right, what was in the plan of God, but it still made his brother bad enough to kill him. And so he has to flee to Paddan Aram. And he stops at a place called Beit El, and he has a dream. Now, that dream that he has, that as he goes to sleep, becomes the basis for the Ma'ariv. It also becomes the basis for Jewish worship and Jewish prayer. The object of worship, the object of prayer, is, number one, is to ascend into the room with Hashem. And if you correctly proceed this, and if you correctly, in the right spirit, I don't mean that you're following all the steps exactly. What I mean is that you're in the right kavanah, and that you're going up. You will encounter Hashem, and He will be coming down the ladder to meet you. And that is the concept of Jewish worship. Okay? But that is where they come from. So, I want to read something to you. This is a book. I'm going to show you lots of books. I'm sure that Darren's going to show you lots of books. And I imagine Debbie will show you a lot of books. This is a book you want to have. This is one of the best. It's called To Pray as a Jew. It's by Rabbi Chaim Halevi Donin, D-O-N-I-N. And I'll have these books set out. Okay, there's another book called To Be a Jew. And those two are tremendous, giving you information. But I want to read to you out of his chapter 18. Chapter 18 deals with rules relating to the prayer service. And it starts off, this is on page 337. The subtitle of the chapter is The Times for Prayer. The times, okay? So how do we say time in Hebrew? There's several ways. But what I'm looking for is the moedim. There is a moed, an appointed time for prayer. And so in an appointed time, we always have this concept of what you do and what you do not do. The Torah is called a living Torah. How many commandments do we have in the Torah? Yeah, 613 commandments. How many of the commandments are explained? Actually, no. Those 10 are some of the most controversial. It doesn't say, this is how you shall do it. There's all kinds of questions, discussion about everything. Of the 613 commandments, every one of them is controversial. Please go to the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy. We're going to go to chapter 17. Actually, let's go to chapter 16. And we're going to read a couple of verses in chapter 16. I'm going to give you some verses to look at, okay? But we're not going to go to them now because of time. So you can look at these later. But here, I would like for you to read the book of Exodus, chapter 18. This is the portion that we call Jethro. When Jethro comes, the father-in-law of Moshe, and he comes, and he says, I'm going to paraphrase it, he says, what are you doing? And he said, well, where you judge the people all day. And so Moshe says, well, I sit and the people come to me for judgment, to be taught the commandments of God and how, and you need to see this for yourself, how to walk in them. How to walk in them. That means how to keep that commandment. So you have a commandment, but there has to be a way that you keep the commandment. So he says, look, you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wear the people out. Do this, and God will tell you to do this. Select able men and appoint them over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, over tens. And they will judge all the lesser things and the greater things they'll bring to you. And I'm just paraphrasing. Then we see in the book of Bamidbar, Numbers chapter 11, where this is after they've arrived at Mount Sinai, but it is before they have built the tabernacle. And he puts up a tent outside the camp, and that tent is called, are you going to love the name of it? Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed. Ohel means tent. Moed means meeting. Okay? We call our appointed times Moedim. All right? These are when we have meetings. Appointed meetings. Appointed times that we meet with Hashem. Okay? So, he is to take 70 of the men and bring them out, and I want to show you this book. How many of you have a Tanakh? First off, how many of you read Hebrew? A few of you. All of you learn the Aleph Bet. Learn how to sound out words. and start working at it, okay? Everything that you learn will help you as you go along. Now, this is published by Art Scroll, and this is called the Stone Edition Tanakh. It reads different than it does in here. And what it says is that when he took the 70 men out to the Ohel Moed, that Hashem increased the spirit that was upon Moses and placed that upon them. Now, you miss that reading out of this translation because it appears that he just took some of the spirit of Moses and put it on them. But he literally increased the spirit that was upon him. And these men are anointed. It's not just men that are sitting there, but they have been anointed by the Spirit of God. Okay, so in Devarim chapter 16, we have a parsha that is called Shoftim, which means judges. So verse 18, judges and officers shall you appoint in all your gates, or here it says in all your cities, okay? Which Hashem your God gives you for your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert judgment. You shall not respect someone's presence. You shall not accept the bribe, for the bribe will blind the eyes of the wise and make just words crooked. Righteousness, righteousness shall you pursue so that you will live and possess the land that Hashem your God gives you. Go down to chapter 17, verse 8. Now I'm going to read this part slow, and I want you to not listen to me. I want you to listen to me, but I want you to read it for yourself, okay? If a matter arises, if a matter of judgment is hidden from you, verse 8, 17, 8, if a matter of judgment is hidden from you, in other words, you don't understand it, between blood and blood, between verdict and verdict, between plague and plague, matters of dispute in your cities, you shall rise up and ascend to the place that Hashem your God shall choose. You shall come to the Kohanim, that means the priest, the Levites, and to the judge who will be in those days. You shall inquire, and they will tell you the word of judgment. Now, what we're talking about here is the Sanhedrin, okay? They will tell you the word of judgment. You shall do according to the word that they will tell you, from that place that Hashem will choose. Next phrase, I'm going to read this slow and make sure yours is translated very, very close to this. This is very accurate for the Hebrew. You shall be careful to do according to everything that they will teach you. According to the teaching that they will teach you, according to the judgment that they will say to you, shall you do. You shall not deviate from the word that they will tell you, right or left. I love that word deviate. And the man that will act with willfulness, not listening to the Kohen who stands there to serve Hashem your God or to the judge, that man shall die. And you shall destroy the evil from among Israel. The entire nation shall listen in fear, and they shall not act willfully anymore. Now, I've had people tell me, we're not supposed to follow this because the Sanhedrin killed Yeshua. They did not. That was not the Sanhedrin. That was a kangaroo court. It's not the Sanhedrin. And we can establish that from numbers and numbers of ways. How many of you were in the military? Okay, in the military, what branch were you in? Navy, great. On a ship, captain, he gives an order. What if he's wrong? Do you follow it? You might, you could be thrown in the brig. Okay, but the captain, if he makes a mistake, he's going to answer to those that are above him, okay? So we have the same outline here, is that we have instruction because we have a really bad verse in the scripture. Now, it's a valuable verse. It's the last verse of the book of Judges, chapter 21, the last verse. It says, in those days there was no king. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. So you don't have where everybody's working together. And that's why the Sanhedrin was set up. It brought order. It dealt with the confusion going away. Now, the Sanhedrin had this major, major task. There's an expression in Hebrew that the Torah is a living Torah. Okay? And we had that everything was going along fine. Solomon builds the temple. The temple's going to stand for 400 years. But the Babylonians come. And the Babylonians destroy the temple. And they carry the people off into exile. So the years go by. How long were the people up in Babylon? 70 years. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many times did the Babylonians carry them away? Three times. And we had three major returns. And so from the last exile to the first return, how long was that? 29 years. From the last exile to the first return. Okay, but the whole time period for all of this was 70 years. But the whole Jewish world's changed because the majority of the population are not in the land. The majority of the population are still in Babylon. And they've been dispersed. The northern kingdom has been dispersed totally, and they have been dispersed throughout this vast empire. And when they come back, there is no temple. And there is no king. Everything's changed. So Ezra, who is part of the second of those that returned, Ezra is the head of a group that are known as the Anshei Knesset Hagedolah, okay? The men of the great assembly. And Darren mentioned Shimon HaZadok, Simon the Righteous. He was the last of the Anshei Knesset Hagedolah. That is the Sanhedrin of this period. And they are going to have to, as a Sanhedrin, many, many questions now. What do we do without a king? What about our brothers that are up in Babylon? Do they keep the commandments like we keep the commandments? The world was changed. They had to redefine within the Torah how they observed. Are you following me? All right, so they are going to do the set times. They're going to set times for prayer, okay? And so they will set the time for Shacharit. And that you are, in other words, that Shacharit is supposed to be between this hour and this hour, all right? However, it was based upon the temple service. Based upon the temple service. I want to show you, I do not have time to go through all of it, but here, okay, so let me read this. When the time frame within which Shacharit should be recited begins at sunrise and lasts until the end of the fourth hour, which is equivalent to one-third of the day. Hopefully I'll be able to explain what is meant by hours, because it's different from how we count hours. Now, this relates to in the temple. You had preliminary services before daylight. These were called Kiryat HaGever. Okay? Gever, it means the service of the crier. It goes for the time that people rise and the time that with the crier, a threefold cry for the priest to go to the 12 steps, for the Levitical choir to go to the platform called the Dukkan, and for what is called the Ma'amad. And you'll learn about this, those three groups, a whole lot. I'm not going to spend the time right now telling you. But everybody is going into the temple at this point, and the priests are very busy getting the temple ready for the morning service. So all these people are there way before daylight. Like, let's say daylight's going to be at 6 o'clock. The temple will begin to fill up around 4 in the morning. Everybody comes. And they don't come and just say, let me sit over here for a while, and we're going to wait, you know, bring a Gatorade or something. It's not like that. The people come to the temple to prepare, to pray, to get themselves ready so that when the sun rises, that is the signal for Shacharit to begin. Okay? So in this, in the prayer book, we have prayers that are the preliminary prayers before you get the shacharit. It's based on the temple. So then, time for mincha. It begins at 9.5 hours into the day and lasts till sundown. For it's during this interval that the mincha offering was brought. When said during this period, the service is called minhat ketanah, the short mincha, because the time period during which it is said, 2.5 hours, is relatively short. Now, I want to tell you one more thing before we run out of time. What time did they kill the Passover lamb? Between the evenings. How is it translated in our Bibles? It says, at sundown, right? Let me read it to you. If you will turn to the book of Shemot or Exodus, we go to chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 6, chapter 12. If you have something that's different from what mine reads, I want you to tell us, okay? But it says here, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Anybody have something different? Between the evenings, okay? Between the evenings. And that's what it says in Hebrew is Bein Ha'aravim, which can be translated between the evenings. Between the two evenings, okay? So, what is between the evenings? What does that mean? Between the evenings, okay, you have the day is divided into two sections. One is called Shachar, also called Boker, or morning. And so you have the morning goes from sunup to noon. Okay, so sunup to noon. Then you have the evening, which goes from noon to sundown. You say, wait a second, evening is when it's getting dark. It is in the United States. It is in the West. But in Israel, evening was from noon to sundown, and then you had night. So, they kill the morning sacrifice, Bein HaShacharit, or Shachar, Bein HaShachar, between the mornings. Bein HaShacharit, yeah, between the mornings. And so, that would be between the halfway point between sunrise and noon. You would say, well, that's 9 o'clock. Depends on the season of the year. It's not going by the third hour doesn't mean 180 minutes. That means halfway through the morning. So if the morning is going to be because the sun rose at 4:30 in the morning, then it's going to be a different time. Do you understand? Okay. So they kill the Passover lamb at Bein HaAravim between the evening. So halfway between noon and sundown. All right? And that depends, you know, if it's going to sun going down at 6 o'clock, that's going to be at 3 o'clock. However, right now, in the summer, the sun doesn't go down until after 8 o'clock in the evening. And so your time changes in the temple. The time changed back in the days of Yeshua. Today it's more standardized. Today it comes down to that they have set it by the hours. But the men of the great assembly are the ones that set these times because they had this huge community up there in Babylon. And Darren said, we're talking about individual prayer. Individual prayer. And all of us desire that individual prayer, right? When I pray and I'm going through the prayers, there's two highlights always. What is the Shema? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, another one is the Amidah. Because not only am I saying, when I say the Shema, declared that Hashem is my king, but I feel connected with Derek because he's praying that at the same time. And I am connected with people all over the world. Even though I'm doing it myself, there's a whole community doing it at the same time. And we have beyond that is that I have a continuity all the way back to Sinai. So I feel part of that community. It's one of the major aspects that this movement needs is the sense of a universal community. And so as we go through the prayers and we rise up to say these prayers, we are becoming a part of that overall voice. When we develop how it was done in the temple and how it went to the communities, you'll understand better the appointed times. But prayer is not something that each man does what's right in his own eyes. There is a time that is set for. Sure, you can pray any time, but you want to come forward and you want, as a people, as well as an individual, declare the kingship of Hashem. As a people and as an individual, you want to be able to bring your personal petitions and the petitions for the people in the Amidah. We live in a time that are perilous. We live in a time that we need to know how to pray. Thank you.